Amber, would you lead us in prayer, please? You're leading us. Come on, kiddo. You can do it. Lord, I have your word, and I believe it's true. I have everything it says I have. I am everything it says I am. And I can do everything it says I can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. I did that because I was unprepared. If you would turn to John, the 14th chapter. The message today is the governor's nature. John 14, verse 26 is our text. But we will have a lot of scripture today. Are we there? John 14, 26. This is the Lord speaking, and he's saying to us, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, when the Father will send, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." That is not our conscience. That is the Holy Spirit working in our conscience. And as I had said before, I will continue to reiterate, it is God's responsibility to transform us. Right? He has sent His Spirit to transform us into the image of His Son. Right? Then stop trying to do the Holy Spirit's work. Okay? I give you permission to stop. Let Him do His job. He knows how to do it really well, okay? But that is a serious note, because what we have learned early on in the ministry is, you know, pointing out sin and what sin issues are. Not that we were trying to poke at everybody's sin and stuff, but focusing on how sinful we are. And then, towards the middle of the ministry, about 3-4 years ago, we started a construction process of understanding who we were before we came to Jesus Christ, and now who we are in Jesus Christ, and how we are going to effectually become the kingdom of God here on earth collectively. We also understand that the governor's responsibility is he represents the presence of the king when the king is not here, and his duty is to train and transform the colony that is under ownership of a kingdom to represent the king and his will. That is the job of the Holy Spirit. What he is trying to do in you and in me is transform us by the renewing of our minds, so that our actions that are motivated out of our heart will be in compliance to the king's will. I say it this way: God speaks to my spirit. He enlightens my mind to motivate my flesh to do the will of God. How many of you have heard me say this? Praise God, you're all paying attention. I didn't mean past, I mean just now. I wanted to know if that hour of sleep has really affected us, because it has affected me. I'm almost awake. But praise God for that. Jesus said that it would be a benefit to us that the Holy Spirit would come. And it has been, because the Holy Spirit can be everywhere at the same time, speaking different things to the needs of the Church of Jesus Christ in this land and in foreign lands, because the needs of Streams is different than the needs of St. Matthew's or the Presbyterian Church. Do you believe that? It is. They're at a different place than where we are. They are moving in different things, but the bottom line is what God is doing is bringing the church together in these days. Amen? And we have to keep focused on the bigger picture. We have to stop creating minor things that we tend to fix and make a major thing on. It's not the sin issue of our lives. That has been dealt with. What needs to be done is, how can I stay in the presence of God and do what it is He's told us to do? That is the whole crux of our Christian walk. And Jesus said, when the counselor comes, he will teach you all things and remind you of everything that he says. The word for counselor is a Greek word called parakletos. It is a Greek word. And its literal meaning means for someone to come alongside of. I need a victim. Becky, come on up here. Hi, Becky, I'm Gary. Nice to meet you. Okay, she's a Christian, right?
Yes.
But pretend for a second she's not, okay? And the Holy Spirit is here, okay? And we understand that he doesn't do anything in her until what happens? Until she accepts Jesus. Right? So now she's accepted Jesus, and the Holy Spirit now comes alongside of her to teach her and to remind her of everything that she's read in Scripture. But this coming alongside has a passive and an active tense to it, simultaneously. And Nikki, because she's our resident legal advice here, she will understand that in a court of law, there are people that come alongside of either the witness or the defendant to comfort them. Make them feel, this is okay. I have not deserted you. No matter what's going on, it's going to work out, right? There's people that come in there. They're like the support group. And so is the Holy Spirit. He is a support group to us that in whatever trial we're going through, he is there with us. All the time. He sees the good, he sees the bad, and he sees how ugly we are. Except for you women, you're beautiful. But then there's an active side of the Holy Spirit. And this active side of the Holy Spirit is really great. And I love him because of this. Oh, thank you very much. The Santee. The water the pastors use. Where was I, Beck?
Active.
Yes, I'm glad you reminded me. See, the Holy Spirit working in her is now working for me. Active. This is more or less like a coach. A coach, he used to play the sport not very well. They say you can't play the sport, you coach the sport. That's true. It really is true. Right. Those who can't play, teach. Okay. But the Holy Spirit can play, and he can teach. And he does it really well. His job here is to exhort us. That when we mess up, when we fall down, and we get right back up, he says, Rachel, you can do this. Yes, you can, because I'm working mightily in you. You don't have to worry about this. You don't have to worry about Satan beating your brains in and causing you to have guilt and shame and all. No. The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you from all unrighteousness. Come on, get up, girl. You can do this. And he does this with all of us. All the time. The job of the coach is always to show you that you can go further than what you believe you can. You have more in you than you think that there is. And the funny thing is, God supplies it for us to have. Because in Revelation, it talks about those who overcome. Who's an overcomer? That's right. The believers of Jesus Christ are overcomers. Thank you, Becky. And so what we have here is, we have to understand that the Holy Spirit is given to our benefit. It is the Holy Spirit who will remind us of what Jesus has said to us. It is the Holy Spirit who will teach us in love and in truth. In love and in truth. He is not going to say something that is not truthful. We had that propensity to take a little bit of truth and mix it with a whole lot of lies. Right? But when we're moving in truth, and the Holy Spirit has a hold of our tongue, we can but speak truthfully all the time. Because God cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. And so when He talks to us and He encourages us, He's always truthful about that. When He's exhorting us and saying, Dory, you can do this. Even though you want to give up, I'm here with you, girl. I can help you. I want to make you have a great day today. And then you go, oh man, I could have had a V8 or something else. We want to give up at times, but the truth of the matter is God has not given up on us. He has a purpose for us. And He must teach us who we are first and what that purpose is second. Now sometimes I really believe that we forget, or we don't even try to be reminded, that we are spiritual beings living in a tent that is empowered from on high. And when we say that simple prayer, you're mouthing those words say a whole lot to me about your confident level in who you are in Jesus Christ. Did you realize that? See, there's a reason why I have you guys pray. I actually take the temperature, the spiritual temperature of the congregation. Oops, I just let a secret out. But it's the truth. I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you the truth. The truth is that the Holy Spirit wants to raise you up out of your chairs, spiritually speaking, and get you to start walking this thing out because you can do this. You can do this. Because Christ has come to pump you up. I'm not a girly man. No. I'm filled with Christ in me. The hope of glory. Oh, amen. Amen. We can have a lot of fun in Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, the church should be the place where we have a ton of fun. Making fun of me and thee. Me first. We have to first understand that there is a process that all of us have to start and will end when we vacate this tent. That process is called sanctification. Absolutely. And just as we're committed to relationships, we must be committed to this relationship with the Holy Spirit in order for our sanctification process to be initiated. The problem is, we don't believe that we have to go through this. That it's okay for us to behave and act as though we were never saved. The fact of the matter is that when you heard the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and you received Him, you turned over all your rights. You now have capitulated and surrendered to the Father's will. And He will work His will in you. Kicking and screaming as you may, because I know I've done it. And in certain cases, still am doing it. It's just the process. We have to understand that He is already committed to you. The process that we are to be committed to is the sanctification, or the surrender and our complete obedience to the Holy Spirit's leading in truth and in love. It's unconditional. We understand this, right? Let's continue to take a look. If we willingly continue to live in our fallen state, the Holy Spirit will not come alongside of us. He will not speak to us. He will essentially allow us to wander away. And the Bible calls people that are of this estate, the Bible calls them an apostate. They no longer hear God, nor are they obedient to God. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. An apostate is not a good position to be in, because an apostate is filled with pride and arrogance and half-truths. He does not want to be committed to the sanctification process. And when we fail, we have no one that is alongside of us to exhort us to get up and repent. And so when we fall we fall mightily. Bible says if there's not another person there to help a person who's falling, how will that person get up? But we know that we are under grace. We are to experience God's grace. And the way we experience God's grace is with the Holy Spirit's help. John 16, verse 13 says, this is the Lord speaking again. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will only speak what He hears, and what He will tell you is what is yet to come. The Holy Spirit's job isn't just to be present with us and give us holy goosebumps. His job is to train us up. His job is to bring those who are our heirs of salvation into the reality that you and I are going to inherit a kingdom. We are part of that kingdom, even as we are standing here today. But one day, the manifestation of that reality is going to be ours. Do you believe that? That is the truth. When Jesus comes, He's coming for the church. He's calling, bring the church out. Remember, I said to you, before they have the full-out declaration of war and the actual battle takes place, what happens? The consulate is closed and the citizens of that country are removed. We call that the rapture. That is coming. That is the truth. That is what's coming. There is going to come a time when the church is not going to be here any longer. But while we are here, we have a purpose of being here. And God is trying to teach us what that plan is, and He's trying to get us to act and represent the kingdom of heaven. It is the job of the Holy Spirit to teach, to train, to help us think, to act, and to live by the standards, customs, and culture of our homeland, heaven. If we are living, if we have been saved for a year, we should see some growth of change in a person's life. Amen? It may be gradual. Doesn't matter. But if that person has been in Jesus Christ for 5 years and has shown that minute amount of growth, there is a problem. What do you think that problem is? The person's submission and obedience to the Holy Spirit. It's true that all of us grow at different rates and at speeds, but we should be growing. We should be consistently being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And then we have to understand that if we are not submitted to that commitment to allow the Holy Spirit to change us and conform us into His, we are in a problem. The Holy Spirit is our personal tutor. He is directly involved in our lives. He uses the Bible as our textbook, the world as our classroom, and our lives as lessons to bring about the necessary change to bring us into conformity to the image of Jesus Christ successfully. We may not see or understand what's going on in our lives right now, but the one thing we can actually declare is that God, who is faithful and true, will complete this work until the day of Jesus Christ. He will. He doesn't allow things to happen in your life and my life because He wants to see us in pain and anguish. He doesn't. He is not a God that does these things. He uses our decisions, as immature and dumb as they are at times, He uses them in a way that will bring the perfection that He wants, which is for our ultimate good. And sometimes, all the time, when we repent, we get the privilege of going back and working with the Holy Spirit to see all the death and destruction that we occurred, now to allow God to bring life and liberty into that. And that's the truth. And God is so good in that. But we're so hell-bent on doing our thing that we will destroy our very existence not to do what God wants us to do. And believe me, what He's asking us, if you really want to be reasonable about it, is not that difficult. It really isn't. That's the truth. The Holy Spirit is, He's trying to teach us line upon line, precept upon precept, here little, there little. And we don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear that we have to change. The unfortunate thing is, if you don't change, as I stated earlier, you are relegated to being an apostate. Your condition is foreign. And you will have to deal with God on a different tone than His grace and His mercy for right now. It is also the Holy Spirit's responsibility to interpret the meaning of the king's words. It is not man's interpretation to what the Scripture says. It is what the Holy Spirit says that the king says. I can enlighten you to the foundations of Greek and Latin words and stuff, but ultimately it has to be the Holy Spirit who enlightens your heart to the truth of what is being conveyed. Example. How many of us have ever gone to a meeting and we've listened to people either in the church or out of the church preaching a message or sharing a teaching that just didn't seem right? All of us have, right? And you can't put your finger on it, but you know that, you know what, there's just something not right here. And you look around and all the people are like, wow, this is awesome stuff, you know, like, you know, they're like the little bobblehead, it's in the back of the car, you know, shaking its head. And then when you go home, you look into the Scriptures or your textbooks or whatever it is, and you find out, man, this guy is way off. He is way off. That is the Holy Spirit working in your spirit, telling you to be cautious. He will lead you into all truth. He will also lead you away from half-truths and lies. You may not comprehend why, but He is here to protect us so that we aren't swept away by every wind and doctrine that is permeating through the church. He wants us rooted and grounded in truth. And for any church leader to force a congregation to take hook, line, and sinker what he's saying, that is wrong. You need to be like the Bereans. Check it out. See what I'm saying, if it's true or not. And if I'm not accurate, come talk to me. I can repent. I know how to repent. But I try my best to be as accurate and truthful as possible regarding people's lives and the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit will counsel us in all truth and to fill us with all wisdom and understanding. God, the Holy Spirit, breaks down the complexities of God's Word in such a way that we can understand it and apply it in its simplicity, which is by faith. It's not us hearing that we've got to stop cussing. It's training us to speak righteously. You see, if we start changing our attitudes of focusing on the positive instead of remaining on a negative, our lives are transformed exponentially. And that's the truth. It is the truth that the Church of Jesus Christ needs to begin to see that God is our friend. He wants us successful, but He has to get rid of the junk in our lives first in order to begin to build something of quality and eternal. Amen? So where does this bring us? Individually, I'm speaking about how the Holy Spirit works with us individually. But how does the Holy Spirit work with us as the church? I'm glad you asked that question. Habakkuk 2:14 says, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." The knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Jesus said it this way, Matthew 28:19 and 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. It is the job of the Holy Spirit to make the church work together. I can't make anybody work with me. I can only propose churches to work with us or us work with other churches. And you've heard me share numerous times of talking with brothers and sisters in different congregations about working together. Take the name and the logo off the church. If you believe in Jesus Christ, then we can work together. I don't care what your doctrine is. All I care about is us performing the job that the church was designed to do. And the job of the church, according to Habakkuk, is to fill the earth with the knowledge of the glory of God. Or, as Jesus succinctly put it, make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them in all ways the truth of what Jesus has said to do. That's how it's supposed to be done. We are to use every gift, every talent, every moment, everything that we have for the sole purpose of spreading the truth and the fame of our God for His glory. We are to tell them the truth that God is not at war with us, but He is going to forgive us of our sins if we repent and turn to Him. As we do these things, the Holy Spirit will bring conviction to people. He will be the one who is doing the work that has to be done. As He has convicted us, so He will do that with other people. The purpose of God for the church is for each one of us to serve each other and to serve the household of God, especially. It's to love one person, one family, one town, one country at a time. It's to love God above all. Finally, in John 16, verses 8 through 11, Jesus says this, "And when He comes, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin, righteousness, and of judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in Me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you cannot see Me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned." The Holy Spirit, as we share the good news of God's love for man, will convict people of improper desires, attitudes, and actions that are contrary to heaven. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and of judgment by our sharing the truth of the gospel. As we share this is so cool. As we share the gospel with people, as we open up our mouths and share Jesus and why we believe in things, not in a fearful way, but in a way that we love people, you know what happens? We put ourselves in the firebrands of sanctification. He uses that process to accelerate and to burn up all the dross that's in our lives so that Jesus Christ may shine from us. That's the truth. How many times have you shared Jesus Christ and people got in your face and spit at you, cussed at you, and you are saying, "Man, I would just love to lay hands on you." And not in a loving way. Understand, God is with you. And when we put ourselves out there, God changes us. Because you know what? That person remembers how you responded to them. Your response to their reaction speaks more volumes to them than you actually speaking the words of life to them. Because it is the Holy Spirit bringing conviction of their sin and their need for a Savior. That is so true. We accelerate this process. But we must understand that the world is, in this scripture, is not referring to an ethnical group or people groups. It is referring to a mindset, a system of which we were once under. It's referring to the kingdom of darkness and how it imprisons the minds of men and women. And we were all part of that kingdom. At least we have forgotten. We were part of that kingdom, where Paul says, of which some of you were thieves and liars, adulterers, murderers, of which some of you were. But now you're in Christ. Now God your Father expects you to get your act together. God the Father expects you to become responsible to Him, because one day you and I are going to reign with Him in His kingdom. And He's not going to allow the junk of the world to contaminate His kingdom. When we present the truths of God's eternal desire for men to all come to repentance and be saved, the Holy Spirit is giving us the words. And those words are of truth. And I've heard many people say, well, Pastor, what am I supposed to say? Just open your mouth and let it go. Don't let fear grip your heart and not say anything. Let it go. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter, because the Holy Spirit in you is going to speak those words to that person. Well, that person may not speak English. Guess what? The Holy Spirit can take your English words and turn them into Spanish without you even knowing. All He needs you to do is start vocalizing, demonstrating the love of God, just like someone else vocalized and demonstrated the love of God to win you into the kingdom. But Pastor, I didn't sign up for this. Oh, yes, you did. Oh, yes, you did. The day that you called Jesus to save you, you signed up. You enlisted. There is no fine print. You would love to believe that. But there is no fine print. He tells you exactly. The problem is our comprehension was not there. But it is the truth. The Holy Spirit wants to use you. He wants you to speak forth in all power of the Spirit to convict, convince, and communicate the truth of God's Word. As we make God's business our business, He will make our business His business. That's how committed He is to us. And He will make us into the image of His Son. Last scripture, 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 13 and 14. Paul saying this. We have to always thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through the belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the nature of the governor to transform the colony or the church into the exact representation of the government and kingdom of heaven. That is His job. And as long as we have breath in us, He will continue to do that. And if you're about to check out of Hotel 6, we will lay hands on you, and we believe that God will bring your spirit back to you to complete your job. You're not checking out of Hotel 6 until your job is complete. And neither am I. But you have been appointed. God has appointed you. Not only to share the gospel and share with the glory with people, but to be partakers of His glory in that awesome day. Can you imagine this? That the fame that we are supposed to spread throughout the world, we become famous because we are sharing the good news. Because of Him. He makes us famous. Not in worldly terms, but in a demonic world where they say, you know what? Paul I know and Jesus I know, but did I know you, Steve? I don't think so. I'm going to kick your butt. And the demons will whoop on your behind. We don't have to fear any demon. They're defeated. We don't have to be ashamed of who we are, because we are royal people. We don't have to worry about what we say. We just need to say it. God will do all the rest of the work. And He will transform you into the image of His Son without you even knowing it. Amen? Amen. Father, I just thank You for Your Spirit. I thank You, God, that You have not left us orphaned, but You have given us a person who cares for us more than we could even care about ourselves. Holy Spirit, we give You permission today to work in our lives, to conform us, to challenge us, to cause us to go out, just as Tom did and brought one of his friends into the men's breakfast. God, that You would cause Your people here to begin to go out and share the good news. Who cares what other people think? It only matters what You think, Lord. Let us be bold as lions for You, but meek as lambs when we serve, Lord. Because we look to that glorious day. We look to be found in You, Lord. Not opposing You. Father, have Your way in our lives. Bless Your people today, God. Bless Your church richly, God, meeting each and every need until that great and glorious day. Amen and amen.